Again, I'd ask for you to turn in your copy of God's Word to John chapter 8. We continue in John chapter 8. We're going to see today Jesus proclaimed to be the light of the world. And this could easily be a good Christmas passage because it's at Christmas that we really look into images of Jesus coming as a baby and as light of the world. And the whole point of Christmas is so that we can get to Resurrection Sunday. And so last week we kind of talked about the first 11 verses of John chapter 8, and an adulterous woman is brought before Jesus by the scribes and the Pharisees, and we don't know what Jesus wrote in the dirt, but we see that it was a test. And Jesus actually tests them. He flips the script, so to speak, or the table. We've already seen back in John chapter 2 that Jesus likes to flip tables. And so we see that Jesus tells them that those who want to kill this woman, that he who is without sin to be the first to throw a stone at her. And then after a time, we don't know how long, we see that their consciences start to convict each other. And then one by one, from the oldest to the last, we see a dismissal. So case dismissed. Jesus rises up and he asks, "Where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" And she says, "No one, Lord." And he says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." And so today we continue in John chapter 8, picking up at verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." The Pharisees therefore said to him, "You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true." Jesus answered and said to them, "Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh, I judge no one. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am the one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me." Then they said to him, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also." These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. May God add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. So the big idea today is that Jesus is the light of the world. We've seen Jesus already give us some great metaphors about himself. He's recently told us that he is the bread of life back in chapter 6. 2 weeks ago, he stood up on the last day of the feast and he cried out that if anyone thirsts, we can come to him and he will give drink, and those that believe in him will flow rivers of living water. Jesus has already claimed that God was his Father, making himself equal with God in John 2. So again, I would say don't let anyone ever tell you that Jesus never claimed to be God, or that he was just a prophet or just a good teacher, because if he was, he wouldn't cause so much division. And so the reason that they're wanting to kill Jesus is because they can't handle him saying that God is his Father, making himself equal on the same level with God. And so they've already tried to arrest Jesus. They've sent guards to take him, but the guards say no one has ever spoken like this man. And so over the next several weeks, we're going to see this kind of ongoing debate between the Pharisees and Jesus. And we've said that it's fall time. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus is gaining more and more of a following because of his teaching. And last week, Jesus was in the temple early in the morning, and they brought this woman in to try to trick him. And so this is our context. And verse 12 says that Jesus spoke to them again. And so if you hold on just a second, with this little phrase, again, Jesus spoke with them again. John MacArthur, he says, this would seem to attach itself well with the verse of 7:52. The word again indicates that Jesus spoke once more to the people at the Feast of Tabernacles. As we look down to verse 20, he says that he's speaking these things in the treasury at the temple. So again, no one can lay a hand, not even a finger, on Jesus because his hour hadn't come yet. Now, Jesus is the fulfillment of all the symbolic representations of all the feast. As we said, they would go and they would fill a gold pitcher with water and they would pour it around the altar. We had mentioned that the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot, it's to celebrate the time when the Jews are wandering in the wilderness for 40 years after they're freed from Egypt. Now, why did they have to wander for 40 years? Well, it was because 1 year for each day that they took to spy out the land. They died because of their disobedience to God's command to go and to take the land. They were afraid that their kids would become slaves. And so they all gave a bad report of the land, all except for Joshua and Caleb. And these were the only two of that generation that were able to enter the land. And so we said that there's two things that you really need in the desert. One is light and the other is water. Jesus just said that if we believe in him out of our hearts, we can have living waters. And so now we're going to see Jesus going with a light motif. Edwin Blum, he says that a major feature of the Feast of Tabernacles was the lighting of giant lamps in the women's court in the temple. The wicks were made from priest-worn out garments, and the light illuminated the temple area, and people gathered to sing and dance. They were able to dance even in the courtyards. But the light reminded the Jewish people of how God was with them in the wanderings in the wilderness in a pillar of cloud which turned to fire at night. And so we see these huge candelabras, these four Olympic-size torches. They're reminders that God was their light in the wilderness. And Jesus shows us that he is the light of the world if we follow him. He knows that this celebration, this feast, it has a lot of imagery of water and light. And so Jesus is saying that he is the light of the world. It's not a coincidence. And he is actually associating himself as the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day that led the children of Israel through the wilderness. And this imagery, it would have been so pervasively obvious. A great fact in Jewish culture is that women usually light the candles like 18 minutes before sunset on Shabbat, on Sabbath. Now, men can light candles too, but it's an honor for the women to do it. Now, you might ask why. Maybe she likes scented candles. I don't know. Maybe she's the one that knows where the candles are at. But it's noted as a privilege. And according to Shabbat.org, it says that she's usually more involved in the running of the house and spends more time at home. But also, as Eve, by persuading her husband to eat of the tree of knowledge, brought death to the world and extinguished the candle of God, so to atone for this, women kindle the Shabbat candles, reigniting the godly spark. In extra Jewish teaching in the Bereshit, it says, man is nothing without woman. Is that okay? That man is nothing without woman? Does that get me out of the fire for the rooftop comment last week? She's not even listening. We'll see. Man is nothing without woman. It's also by the seed of the woman that we receive the Messiah, the light of the world, Jesus. And so some great verses about light. Psalm 27:1, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Salvation, translated from Hebrew again, is Jesus or Yeshua. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 44:3 says, for they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast had favor upon them. Psalms 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Light is needed. Two of the most common fears of people are either falling or being afraid of the dark. And when the light is on, we have a less likelihood of tripping because the light helps reveal things. And so Jesus says in verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Dr. Tom Constable, he says that the light of life figure stands for what dispels the darkness of ignorance and death. Jesus was claiming that whoever believes in him will enjoy light that comes from God's presence and produces life. And so without sunlight, without any kind of light source, it's hard for things to grow. So unless you like to play Minecraft, where you're growing mushrooms, but even above ground in this game, you want to make sure that you have torches in garden areas. But what a great process we have in photosynthesis. We have plants that use sunlight to synthesize foods from carbon dioxide and water, and they give us oxygen and other things like food. It's just amazing. But in order not to be in darkness, we see two things from verse 12. First, we need to follow and not walk in darkness. And so we're going to look at both of those. What does it mean to follow him? First, what does it mean to follow Jesus? Another word for a personal follower of Jesus is a disciple. And at the root of the word, we can see the word discipline. It imitates the life and teaching of our master. And so we're told in Matthew 28:19-20 to go and to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded. And so by following Jesus, we observe all that he has commanded us. And so, but in order to observe, we must study his word. We are to listen to what he said. He's the one that's worthy to receive all glory, all honor, and blessing. And it's simply by trusting and obeying him. And by trusting that Jesus is our great shepherd and our supremacy, we're going to see later in John 10:27, that we're supposed to know his voice. And I'll tell you right now that his voice, it's totally different from that of the world's. We are to hear his voice, we are to believe in him, and we're to follow him. He's the one that gives eternal life. And so God is the one who establishes us in Christ. We're to trust, we're to believe, we're to follow him. But secondly, we're not to walk in darkness. Three things that we're not to walk in darkness: the works of the flesh are evident, because the light reveals the works of the flesh. And last week, I referenced Galatians 5, and I will again. Galatians 5, 19 through 21, it says, "The works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things of the like." But Paul also says in 1 Corinthians 6:11, "Some of you were, but you were washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." If you're a Christian, there should be a change in your life. There should be a change of bearing fruit that befits repentance. John 3:19 says, "This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil." And if we are to walk in the light, it means that we are to live and to please God and to glorify his name. 1 John 1:5 through 6, it says, "This is the message that we have heard from him, and we proclaim it to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth." But verse 7 of John 1:1 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Now, did it say just some sin? 80 to 90% sin? No, it said all sin. Any and every sin can be forgiven when we confess it to him. He is faithful. He is just. He can cleanse us of our sins from all unrighteousness. Now, the question has to be posed, why? Is it just because we confess our sins? Or because we feel sorry for them? No. Because even Jews and Muslims and everyone else can feel sorry for their sins, but they're not forgiven. It's only because of Jesus Christ, his blood as our payment for ours. And when he looks at us, even though we deserve eternal torture and damnation, Jesus says to his Father, "It's been paid for, it's been covered by the blood. Enter into the joy of thy Lord." But secondly, we also see that continual living in sin, it separates us from God. For believers, it causes a boundary of hindered fellowship and with God, and even unanswered prayers. If we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. We're told in Isaiah 59:2 that our iniquities have separated us from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Thirdly, having Jesus as our light, it takes away the sting and the darkness of death. 1 Corinthians 15:55 through 57, often read at funerals, it says, "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord and Jesus Christ." Verse 13, the Pharisees say, "Well, you bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true." And so they throw the challenge flag. They call foul, because back in John 5:31, Jesus said, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true." And so they're bringing up Jesus' own words against him. But Jesus already gave four witnesses. We said John the Baptist, the miracles, his father, and even the scriptures themselves. And so they're just going around the same mountain again. They're just going around in circles. They don't like the fact that Jesus has said that he is the light of the world or that he's living water. And so they accuse him of essentially bearing witness of himself. In verse 14, Jesus says, "Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness would be true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I came from or where I'm going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me." And so we just saw last week that Jesus didn't condemn or judge the woman caught in adultery. He had every right, but during his earthly ministry, he came not to judge the world. We see this from John 3:17. We all know John 3:16, or we should, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 3:17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." But he does, however, been assigned to judge all. We're told this in John 5:22. John 9:39 says, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind may see, and those who see may become blind." 2 Timothy 4:1 says, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom." Jesus has come to call us to repentance, to show us that he is the light of God. And when he comes the second time, he will separate the sheep from the goats, and his judgment will be severe. And if you haven't come to the grips of who Jesus is, he is God's only Son. He is our only way to heaven. We must admit that we're a sinner. We must confess him as Lord and that his death was our payment for our sins. And I pray that if you haven't come to that realization, that today that you will see that Jesus is the light of the world, and that when you call upon him and when you follow him, that you will no longer walk in darkness, but you will have the light of life. Because it would be our greatest joy if we heard that someone came to faith in Jesus Christ, that the miracle of regeneration happened, that someone heard the message and that they believed. Because we preach the gospel here. We've heard of so many stories that someone has been in a church for years and years and never fully committed themselves. And then under the hearing of God's word, that they confessed and that they believed and that they were transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And this is our goal in proclaiming his word. It's not my word, it's his word. He's the one that draws. He's the one that convicts. We're told just to bring our loaves and our fishes so he can use it, so that he can multiply it for his good and for his glory. But to be honest, we need to be saturated with the gospel. For God has given us good news. There's already so much bad news that's in the world. We preach the good news. And if you are a Christian and you're here today, are you letting your light shine bright? Because we see that no one lights a lamp and puts it under a table or a basket, but rather they put it on what? A lampstand, so that it will give light to everyone that's in the house, so that everyone can see. Kids, help me out. Help me sing a song, "This Little Light of Mine." This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Good. When we follow Jesus, we have great accompaniment. He himself accompanies us. Now, I can't sing very well. I was thinking the amen was going to come over here. I can't carry a tune. I'm probably tone deaf. But my wife, she can sing. And when I'm near her, I think I sound better. Maybe. So-so. But the word says to make a joyful sound, does it not? It says make a joyful noise. It doesn't say that we have to be good or in tune. If you don't know how to sing, just sing loud. Just belt it out. But when we believe, he accompanies us. He is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And this is astounding, that we have the Son of the living God with us. And maybe you've seen on the History Channel, there's this show that's called Alone, where there's like 10 people and they're competing to survive in the wilderness for a chance to win $1 million. And it's whoever lasts the longest wins. Sometimes they're out there for like 90 days. I think 87 days was the longest back in season 5. But when we have Jesus, it's like we're on a deserted island. There's no light. And he's the one that's holding the torch. And he says, come and follow me. He not only knows where the hidden treasure is, he is the ultimate, all-satisfying treasure. We are to follow him and not walk in darkness. But finally, we are to trust and to obey. When we have Jesus, we have the presence of his Father and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And then we see Jesus used law to the proud in verse 17. He says, it's written in your law that the testimony of two men are true. I'm the one who bears witness of myself, and my Father who sent me bears witness of me. And we said that in Jewish law, it took two Jewish man's testimonies to make a matter established. And so they're calling Jesus onto the carpet. They're saying Jesus' testimony about himself can't be proven one way or another. They don't believe him, and so they say that his claims to be the light of the world, they're only his own. And so they didn't have life or light in them. They couldn't see either Jesus or his Father. And so, verse 19, they basically scoff and they say, where is your Father? And Jesus says, you don't know me or my Father. If you would have known me, you would have known my Father as well. And if you're in darkness, Jesus says that he is the light of the world. He who follows him shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. There is no other light but Jesus. There is no coexist. And I really despise, I would even say hate, those bumper stickers. It's like saying that there's multiple ways to heaven. That is so false. There's only one way to heaven, and it's through Jesus Christ and Jesus only. Because all other religions or ideologies or ways of thought, they're darkness. And there's no other way to explain it. There's no other way to sugarcoat it. They're darkness. And they're most likely demonic. They're arguments and they're pretensions. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says it sets itself up against the knowledge of God. So we are to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ Jesus. Do you want to change your mind? If you want to change your mind and live like a Romans 12 Christian, which says if you want to make your bodies as a living sacrifice, one that's holy and acceptable, which is your spiritual worship, you have to not be conformed to this world. You have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you want to stop thinking bad thoughts, you may have to make this your mantra. I know I have. A bad thought comes in your mind, you proclaim God's word. You say, I take that thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, Lord. Help me with my thoughts. And you might have to repeat that over and over and over again. I take that thought captive. I make it obedient to Christ Jesus. And if you do it over and over and over again, it will flee. Because God has given you the power and the strength to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of your testimony. Don't renounce your faith. Live it. You can overcome. You don't have to live in darkness. You're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And so whatever darkness you may have been in, or whatever darkness that you may be in now, Jesus offers opportunity to see light. Because Jesus' light, it will expose sin. It's not fun. It can even be uncomfortable. And we will have to make a choice. Will we come clean, or will we just try to justify and try to hide our own filthiness? And this proclamation that Jesus is the light and that whoever follows him will not walk in darkness, it demands a response. And so what will your response be, Christian? How can you and I not walk in darkness but walk in light? What does it look like? Paul tells us in Ephesians 5:8, that one time we were in darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. There should be a contrast of how you were before you were a believer to how you walk now as a believer in Christ. And if that's not the case, we should, as Paul says, examine ourselves to make sure whether or not we are really in the faith. Or if you don't have what I call a knock-you-off-your-horse Saul, Paul salvation experience, maybe you have a Timothy salvation experience where you've been brought up in the church all your life. And regardless, your life should look different over time. The Word says today that it could be the day of salvation. But the world, they want to blur the lines between good and evil. We all have a conscience. We have God's law and instructions to know whether we're living or loving others or we're just loving self. And if you find that there's something that hinders your walk with God, something that maybe makes you irritable, I would suggest taking a fast from it. Put it aside, get rid of it. Ask God to help you become more conformed to the image of his Son. When you're in fellowship with God and his people, we should become renewed and refreshed. We are to encourage one another. We're to build one another up. We're to be a blessing to one another. And prayer is always a great tool to talk with God in reading his word and to be saturated with it. Finally, we're to speak the truth. Speak the truth in love. Confess your sin continually. We're to love one another and we're to love God. Now, Jesus made a very shocking proclamation in verse 20. He said, you know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Jesus has already told us back in John 5:23 that all should honor the Son as they honor the Father. And if we have heard and believed in Him, we have everlasting life. And today, if you're here, my prayer is that you would know that Jesus is the light of the world, and that whoever follows Him will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This is God's word, and I say thanks be to God for it. Will you pray with me? Oh, dear Lord, You are the light of the world. You have sent Your one and only Son so that we can have eternal life. Eternal life through His name. Father, help us not to walk in darkness, but to walk in the light of life. Your Son, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Help us to be reflectors of His light, to shine His light to the nations, but particularly to those that are closest to us. Help us to believe. Help us to walk as children of light. Lord, I thank You for who You are, for Your goodness and Your grace to us, and through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's in His name I pray. Amen.